Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It is good to be with you again today. In our area, there are many resources for leaders, books that describe leadership and how to improve your leadership, people that offer personal coaching and teaching so that you can improve and become a better leader. What do you think is the reason for this? I believe one reason for all these options is because it's important. Leaders matter, and they make a big difference. Our lesson today is from Mark 3, and we will be examining the example of Jesus and learning how we can be better leaders. Learning about leadership from the best leader is a great place to start.
In 2023, my wife Joyce and I had the opportunity to visit Israel, and one attraction we visited was a model of Jerusalem during the time of Herod the Great in 66 AD. It was fascinating. Jesus gave his disciples a model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. We sometimes call it the Lord's Prayer. And we don't often repeat that prayer word for word, but we use the ideas that are in it to help us pray effectively. Models are patterns for us to follow. Our study today is based on Mark chapter 3 and verses 7 to 19. As I studied and prayed, I saw in these verses a model for leaders. That's the title of today's study. Now, if you're not a leader, you can still benefit from this teaching because the actions Jesus took to model leadership apply to all of us in one degree or another. So I invite you to follow along now as I read the scripture texts, Mark chapter 3 and beginning with verse 7. But Jesus withdrew his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And they went into a house. In this narrative, we see several actions taken by Jesus that serve as a model for leaders. Now, before we begin exploring this text, don't forget what happened in the verses just preceding this. Jesus had healed a man in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and as a result of that, the Pharisees and the Herodians began exploring ways to put Jesus to death. So the first action in the model for leaders is exercise prudence. Our text opens with Jesus withdrawing from the synagogue and going to a remote area somewhere along the shore of the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. Do you think Jesus was afraid of the threats of his enemies? You know, before I studied this, I don't know if I ever thought about that before. And I hope you don't think it's blasphemous. The writer of Hebrews said, "We have one, that is Jesus, who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Being tempted in every way certainly includes fear, doesn't it? Jesus knew that his time to die had not yet come, so he exercised prudence or caution. He foresaw the outcome of the opposition, and so he prudently removed himself to the open countryside. No, he didn't run away, he didn't abandon his ministry and purpose. But he set an example of prudence for us. Sometimes we need to take a bold stand for the truth, But then at other times, we can step back like he did here. Knowing when to do that calls for wisdom. All of us face conflict in life, and from Jesus, we learn how to exercise prudence. Are you facing a tense situation? Withdrawal is often a good first option because it gives time for our emotions to cool and it allows us to process things in a more relaxed atmosphere. Then there's another action that leaders need to observe. It is evaluate the pressure. So even as Jesus is withdrawing from the pressure of the religious leaders, he's followed by a great multitude. And a crowd brings a different kind of pressure. The double use of the word great in our text most likely indicates thousands or even tens of thousands of people. They came from Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, east of the Jordan, and from Tyre and Sidon. And so it's no wonder that Mark highlighted the size of the crowd. Some of them must have traveled for days to reach Jesus. Jesus responds to this situation by evaluating the pressure. He knew that a crowd of this size could be unpredictable and could become dangerous. You probably know that every year people are trampled to death or injured in crowds at large religious festivals or concerts or sports events. So he told the disciples to prepare a small boat for him to keep it ready in case he needed it. He feared the multitude would crush him. That's what the text says. Now, he wasn't afraid of the crowd because they were hostile. No, they were just intensely eager to have their case handled by Jesus. Verse 10 says, "For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed upon him to touch him." And the word pressed here means to throw oneself upon something or someone. They wanted to be healed from their diseases and from the afflictions of their minds and bodies, and so they wanted to get right up against Jesus. You know, we all face pressures in life, but leaders face some unique pressures because leaders have authority and power. People look to them for answers or help with problems. Wise leaders evaluate that pressure, and they take steps to ensure that it doesn't overwhelm them. Jesus modeled for us how to evaluate pressures and prepare to deal with them. So, as we exercise prudence and evaluate pressure, there is another action in this model. It is evade popularity. Why do leaders need to evade or avoid popularity? Well, you may recall earlier that Jesus healed a man with leprosy and warned him, "Don't tell anyone." But in his joy, the man disobeyed Jesus, and he began to tell everyone what he had done for him. And because of that, Jesus could no longer openly enter the towns and preach, because when he did that, the people mobbed him. So in this crowd were people with physical ailments and those who were tormented by demonic spirits. And when those evil spirits saw Jesus, they kept falling at his feet and crying out, "You are the Son of God, you are the Messiah." And he warned them repeatedly to be silent. Jesus didn't want their testimony. Do you think Jesus ever struggled with the temptation of pride? If he didn't, then he wasn't tempted in every way like we are. I believe he was tempted, and he evaded the popularity. Whenever someone is given authority and responsibility, there's always this temptation to become proud. Leaders need to understand how subtle and pervasive this temptation is, and they need to find other people to hold them accountable for how they're doing. In the time of Jesus, the words, "You are the Messiah," were explosive. Jesus eventually accepted that acclaim, but not now, and especially not from demons. If Jesus had fallen to the temptation of pride, it would have destroyed his entire ministry. As we exercise prudence, evaluate pressure, and evade popularity, there is a final action in this model for leaders. It is execute preparation. That is, wise leaders prepare for the future. Jesus knew that he only had a limited time here on earth, and so he prepared accordingly. Every one of us has limited time here, and Jesus models for us how to prepare for the future. Jesus withdrew from the seaside, and he went up into a mountain to pray. Evidently, Jesus took a select group with him to the mountain. The original text emphasizes that he himself selected this subgroup, and they went off together with him. And out of that select group, gathered from the larger crowd, Jesus chose the 12. You know something I noticed? There were no volunteers in Jesus' inner circle. These men were called. They were appointed that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. You know, I believe those details are important. They were not ready to be sent forth until after they had been discipled. They needed to spend time with him. There was a lot that Jesus needed to train into these men, and there was also a lot he needed to train out of them. And you know, the same is true for you and me today. Before any one of us can become an effective leader, we need to learn how to follow well. Now, I suppose it would be profitable to spend some time looking at the names and the personalities of the 12 disciples, but I don't plan to do that. The important thing is that Jesus modeled for us as leaders how to execute preparations for the future. So let's recap the actions that provide a model for us to follow. First, Jesus exercised prudence. He evaluated the situation, and then he took appropriate action. When you face conflict, do you exercise prudence in your responses? And then, how well do you evaluate pressure? What are the stress points in your life? Do you have contingency plans like Jesus did? He said, I want you to have that boat ready just in case I need it. And then, do you shun popularity, knowing that it contains great temptations to become proud? Jesus warned his followers. He said to them, beware when everyone speaks well of you. And finally, what preparations are you making for the future? Are you willing to face your own mortality? Are you willing to train and equip others to carry on the work that you have begun? That can be so difficult for some people. I've observed it. Here at Heralds of Hope, I am moving toward retirement. We have a succession plan because I know I won't always be here. But I want the work of God to go forward. If you and I are willing to follow these actions that Jesus modeled for us, I believe we can bring him glory now and into the future through our lives and through the lives of those we train and disciple. Will you join me in the pursuit of that goal?
Thanks, J. Mark, for this teaching. And thanks for reviewing the four areas you just shared. I'm guessing someone is thinking, this didn't apply to me. Because I'm not a leader. If you're thinking this, one question, are you sure? While you may not officially be a leader, and it might not look like you lead, I am pretty sure you have influence. Your life is impacting other people. So unless you live on an island, you have influence. And this is leadership. It may be small, but it is something. So whether you lead in big ways, or small ways, purpose in your heart to lead like Jesus. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you'd like to contact us, please do. You can reach us by email or internet. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. On our page, click on the Partner tab at the top, and there you will see the Contact Us. Click that and message us directly. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you for joining us for Hope for Today. I leave you with great leadership advice from Philippians, possibly the best you've ever heard. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Thank you.